Welcome to KGNU's Morning Magazine. It's Thursday, August 25th of 2022. I'm your host, Shannon Young. Thank you for joining us here on listener-supported community radio. Coming up on today's program, we'll take a look at one of the measures that will be on the ballot in Boulder this November, the creation of a property tax-funded library district. And John Lindorf will be in to catch us up on local food news with Radio Nibbles. His guest today is the executive director of the Boulder County Farmers Market. At the bottom of the hour, we'll have the BBC News headlines. Then it's a public affair. Host Tish Buford will bring us the second half of her conversation with the family of hockey legend Herb Carnegie. Coming up at 9, it's the August installment of the Radio Book Club. And today we'll hear award-winning Denver author Callie Fajardo-Anstine speaking about her new novel, Woman of Light, a multi-generational story that takes us from southern Colorado in the late 1800s to Denver in the 1930s. Today's show was recorded live at the Boulder Bookstore earlier this summer. Then at 9:30, Carrie Marks will be in the Boulder studio for the Morning Sound Alternative. That's all still ahead. But first, these local and regional headlines with KGNU's Luis Licon.
The Biden-Harris administration yesterday announced a long-anticipated student loan forgiveness measure. The student loan forgiveness will benefit millions of Americans who earn less than $125,000 a year. Those who earn Pell Grants, which are based on financial need, will have $20,000 written off on their loan debt. Others are eligible for $10,000 of debt relief. The administration has also announced it will extend the pause of student loan payments through the end of this year. The American Indian College Fund President Cheryl Crazy Bull said in a press release that if student loans are a burden, graduates cannot build their families and cultural and financial needs. Some of the loan forgiveness will be automatically applied, but borrowers with questions can find more information at studentaid.gov. The United States Department of Agriculture, USDA, announced it will invest $8.1 million in rural Colorado communities to combat climate change. The Inflation Reduction Act awarded USDA with $14 billion in funding to roll out programs that will support the expansion of biofuels and help rural areas transition into renewable energy. Some of the allocation will include an investment in solar photovoltaic energy generation systems, a grid-tied non-battery solar and electric system to replace the historical energy consumption for agricultural production, a $100,000 to assist approximately 53 rural small businesses to obtain energy audits. Boulderites can pick up a free catalytic converter anti-theft kit today. KGNU's Claire Purnell has more.
The University of Colorado Boulder Police Department will distribute catalytic converter anti-theft etching kits from 2 to 4 p.m. today at the Fisk Planetarium. Boulder County residents can pick up the kits for free. They come with instructions to install the catalytic converter, how to apply and register the etched decal, and a window sticker that shows the vehicle's catalytic converter is registered with a law enforcement database. The etched decal and sticker linked to the law enforcement will aid in identifying theft and recovering stolen converters. According to the Daily Camera, theft of catalytic converters increased more than 5,000% from 2019 to 2021. The converters, which contain precious metals like platinum, sell anywhere from $25 to $1,400. The City of Boulder and CU's Police Department, in partnership with the Colorado Auto Theft Prevention Authority, organized the effort in an attempt to curb catalytic converter theft, especially for students.
Democratic State Senator Kevin Priola, who switched party affiliations earlier this week, is now facing a recall effort. A recall committee led by a teacher and an auto store owner filed the necessary paperwork yesterday with the Secretary of State's office. Boulder County officials announced Wednesday that they have completed the Marshall Fire cleanup efforts. With all major debris and hazards, residents can begin to rebuild. The Marshall Fire cleanup cost totaled around $20 million, which is about half of what Boulder County Public Works projected. Since the fire devastated more than 1,000 homes in Boulder County late last year, crews have cleaned up more than 170,000 tons of debris. Andrew Barth, a spokesperson for Boulder County Public Works, said that the county is definitely excited that people can focus on the rebuild and not worry about their lots and getting a cleanup. Authorities are still investigating the cause of the fire. The forecast for today is sunny during the day with a chance of breezy thunderstorms later in the evening. The high will get up to 90 degrees and a low of 62. The National Weather Service expects scattered and widespread thunderstorms in the mountains this afternoon, which results in an elevated risk of flash flooding in the burn scar areas. And these are the headlines for KGNU. I am Luis Licon.
You are listening to The Morning Magazine on KGNU. I'm your host, Shannon Young. This November, voters in Boulder will be asked whether to approve the creation of a library district. If voters approve the measure, how Boulder's library system is governed and funded would completely change. Rosanna Longobetter has more.
Do you have your library card with you?
I have a picture of it, yes.
So you can use your library card or the number. Let's use your library card.
The Boulder Public Library in downtown bustles with clients every day, just like these teens who have come to play video games.
There you go. And bring it here.
On any given day, community members use the library to access services, from picking up books to bringing kids to story time. It is a de facto community space in the heart of the city. This election cycle, the libraries are on the ballot, or rather, a question about how best to fund them. Some residents would like to create what is known as a library district funded through a hike on property taxes. One of those local residents is Joni Teeter, co-chair of Boulder Library Champions, the group that organized a petition signature campaign to put the question of funding for the library district on the ballot this November. She says the Boulder Library District proposal has been an ongoing conversation for 30 years now.
Most libraries in the state are now library districts. About two-thirds, I think, of the people in the state of Colorado are served by library districts instead of municipal libraries. And it's because municipal libraries tend to be vastly underfunded relative to the demand for their services. Now, for whatever reason here in Boulder, even though we have always believed in investing in community services, investing in tools that promote literacy and equity and those kinds of things, this library district conversation has never gotten off the ground.
Library districts operate in many areas of Colorado, including in Larimer, Adams, and Weld counties. Many of the library districts in Colorado have been operating for more than 25 years. The one in Colorado Springs has been around for half a century. Joni Teeter says it is time to apply the model in Boulder.
It's an interesting model because it's a hybrid between an elected body and an appointed body. And I think that's done to both provide accountability. Library district trustees are in some ways more accountable than city councils because their duties are spelled out by statute. They're limited to doing library purposes, and they have to give two reports per year on finances to the public and elected officials. They have to do an annual report saying how they're spending the money. They are appointed by elected officials, which gives you a buffer against these waves of censorship that come up and sort of overwhelm libraries. We're seeing that happen right now in Colorado and other parts of the state. So it's been a very, very effective model.
Not everyone is convinced that a library district is the way to go in Boulder. John Taylor, president of the Boulder Chamber of Commerce, says the chamber supports the idea of the library system having adequate funding, but it is not in favor of creating a new government entity to fund it.
Particularly now, as many of our businesses are just now emerging from the challenge of COVID. But in general, it is a high taxation rate for library services on top of what we otherwise pay in property tax. And then second, we just don't feel that it's the appropriate mechanism for governing a library services. We're not seeing that there's appropriate accountability in the governance mechanism. And then third, just our sense is that we should be doing things as a community in coordination with all the other services that are important to our citizens, residents, and our businesses, that whenever we are addressing budget allocations, we should do it in balance with other priorities for the community. And we feel that having a separate library district, it removes that opportunity.
Taylor says one of his big concerns is the tax hike that would accompany the creation of the library district. Proponents of the library district are proposing what is known as a mill levy tax, which is basically a type of property tax. Again, Boulder Chamber of Commerce President John Taylor.
When you think about property tax, there's a couple of concerns associated with that. First of all, there is just the burden of that tax on individuals, residents who are in fixed income, who maybe bought their house a number of years ago. They are now seeing the value of their houses increase. That increase ultimately turns into a higher property tax rate. That's a big burden on folks with limited incomes. But for businesses, it's an added concern because they ultimately pay four times as much in property tax due to the Gallagher provisions that allocate for property tax purposes, that they pay a higher rate of tax on the value of their property. So it becomes a significant burden.
The Gallagher Amendment skews the burden of state property tax towards those who own commercial real estate. And owners of commercial real estate can end up passing those tax hikes onto local businesses. But Johnny Teeter of the Boulder Library Champions says, overall, the property tax mechanism is more equitable than funding the local libraries through sales taxes.
If I'm a person who doesn't have a lot of income, sales taxes take up a much larger proportion of my income than somebody who has a lot of discretionary income. So sales taxes hit people with less money a lot harder than property taxes. Property taxes are as close as we come, I think, to a tax on wealth, because they really tax the increased value in homes and in businesses as they go forward. So in that sense, I mean, we think property taxes are a more equitable way to fund a service that the whole community depends on.
The library district is one of a handful of ballot measures before Boulder County voters this year that call for tax increases. The others ask voters to fund wildfire mitigation efforts, emergency services, and an extension of an existing tax to fund the county's transportation master plan. For KGNU, I am Rosanna Longobetter.
Tune in Thursday at 9 a.m. for the latest edition of the Radio Book Club. This month, we're speaking with award-winning author Callie Fajardo-Anstein. Her latest book, Woman of Light, is steeped in her own family's history and the history of Colorado.
So because my family is so steeped in place in Denver, when I look out at Civic Center Park or something, it's my own memories at a 420 celebration, but it's also like my grandpa's memories and the stories he told me about a certain fountain or a certain time that my father went to court at the courthouse. So for me, a lot of my memories of place are just sort of stacked on top of each other.
Hear Callie Fajardo-Anstein speaking about her new novel, Woman of Light, Thursday at 9 a.m. here on KGNU.
It's time for Radio Nibbles, and John Lindorf is here with a guest. Mackenzie Selke, Executive Director of the Boulder County Farmers Market. Good morning to you both.
Good morning, and good morning, everyone out in the KGNU universe. Gather around the table. We're going to taste some cantaloupe and talk about the farmer's market and all sorts of stuff this morning. Good morning, Mackenzie.
Good morning, John. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, this is your first time on KGNU.
This is my very first time.
And you're the new executive director of the farmer's market, right?
Very much so. I'm brand new as of April 6th, 2022, so about 5 months on the job.
Right now, we are in full blast. Everything that's, except for the fall crops, like, you know, this is prime time, right?
This is absolutely prime time. We're starting to see apples come in, and you know when the apples and the peaches overlap that it is peak season.
So what's exciting at the market right now?
Oh my gosh, every market table is absolutely loaded with the best of Colorado produce right now. We've got sweet corn, we've got green chilies, we've got wonderful
local
meat.
Are you doing roasting yet?
We sure are. We've got roasters on Saturdays and on Wednesdays, so folks can get it live if that's what suits you.
And if you've been living in a cave for a while, which of course many of us have been, the farmer's market is Wednesday evening.
Wednesday starting at 4 until dusk, which is about 7:30 for us now. Yeah. And then Saturday mornings in Longmont at the fairgrounds and in Boulder on 13th Street starting at 8 a.m.
So you came in just as there were a lot of changes happening with the market in terms of the folks who were leading it and other things. And the one question that people keep asking me is they go to the market and they don't see some of the familiar faces, the vendors who have been there for a long time, including biggies, you know, like Sister's Pantry. So what happened? briefly.
Sure. So, John, I joined the market after the vendor selection process was complete and the markets had started this year. So I didn't get to participate in that. But what I can say is that we saw a lot of changes at Boulder County Farmers Markets during COVID, including some of our farmers go out and start their own farm stands. So you can find some folks who helped found our market at their farm stands on site rather than at our markets. Mm-hmm. We also are just seeing a lot of new and emerging farmers and new and emerging businesses who are great candidates for our streets. And I think the team did a really good job of selecting a bountiful, exciting, and tradition-based group for this year.
Any sense of how many vendors are new and how many are old? Percentage-wise?
Oh, man. I think that new and old question gets tough, right? We still have one of our founding farmers who started with our very first market in 1987. That's Susan. And they are with the Fresh Herb Company.
Fresh Herb Company, yes. And I was saying I'm so old that I actually remember that very first farmer's market.
Awesome.
You know, back on I was actually on the courthouse lawn. There were three farmers. It's gotten bigger. you've got some, I wanted to, you know, there's a sense of farmers markets being for the privileged, that the food is more expensive. I can make an excellent case why you should spend the money for that more expensive locally grown food. But it's a question of accessibility. So what does the Boulder County Farmers Market do in terms of getting more people more fresh produce and food?
I think Boulder County Farmers Markets has done a tremendous job working with our local public health authority in the cities to offer Double Up Food Bucks,
which is
a program that matches $20 of SNAP spending with $20 of funds that we raise so that low-income families and historically excluded families can access more fresh produce. We also work closely with WIC families offering the same $20 doubling program and a CSA program that's also home delivery for our WIC families in Boulder County.
I thought that was an interesting thing, the home delivery part of it, because it makes it even more accessible, and the fact that it's more like a CSA, although I imagine you still end up with a box of mystery vegetables, you know, and you go, what the hell do I do with a kohlrabi? But that's a different problem.
We do offer recipes with our WIC CSAs specifically about kohlrabi, so it's
well,
on our mind too.
In general, you have recipes available from the farmers, and I sometimes even share them in my column.
Yeah, very much so. I think I'm proud of our WIC CSA because people have less barrier to entry and they don't have to figure out transportation and childcare. They have more free time, and we hope that they're able to spend some of it preparing some of the fresh fruits and vegetables.
A lot of peeling involved. Let's see. I upcoming in the fall. So the market goes until November, right?
November 19th and October 5th for our Wednesday market. So a few more weeks to get it in the week.
Of course, I've always wished that the market was year-round. Mm. And it's more like that now because you have the pickup program through the winter.
That's right. We have our curbside program where folks can order online throughout the week from BCFM vendors that they love and then pick up from curbside locations in Boulder, Longmont, Lafayette, and Denver. And that goes year-round.
And you don't have to stand in that long line that forms at 8. If you go there at 8 a.m., you
That's
know,
exactly
you'll find
right.
that there's certain booths that have this, you know, people in line from 6 o'clock or whatever.
That's right.
So you can avoid that.
You can avoid the line. You can pick what are your grocery staples and make sure that you have your fridge stocked for the week. And I think it's a nice balance between the event of going to a Saturday market with your friends and family versus the task of grocery shopping and making sure your folks are fed and the food is really good.
One of my favorite events every year is the Boulder County Market, the Winter Market, which is held at the Boulder County Fairgrounds in Longmont. Big, huge display space, and everybody, and it includes other kinds of vendors. It's a way for people in Boulder County to get access to, you know, other kinds of vendors. But you just opened up the applications for vendors, and I'd really encourage people who are listening, wherever you are, not out of the country, but to check this out.
Yeah, thank you so much. We're looking for vendors for our winter market, which is on the 3rd and 4th of December at the Boulder County Fairgrounds. And we're so proud to host that last of the season in-person event where folks can stock up for their feasting with our local produce and ranch and food producers and also purchase artisanal goods and art from local artisans and makers.
And also, I want to just pop in, John, and ask you about, while we're talking about events, not so far in the future with December, what's coming up this weekend as far as events go that have to do with food?
It's this new event, which apparently none of us here have heard of. It's called the Planet-Based Festival. It's Sunday at the Bandshell in the park. And it includes a lot of things about sustainability, regenerative agriculture, healthy living. But all the vendors are the food vendors are all offering vegan or, you know, offerings or plant-based.
Plant-based stuff.
But,
okay.
You know, that sounds kind of boring. But, you know, it includes ice cream and tacos. And
hey, some people really get into that.
Well, no, I know. What, vegan? Yeah, no, I'm saying.
And the whole plant-based thing.
No, absolutely. But anyway, if you look at the list of folks who are coming, it's quite amazing.
We're coming up on time, but I want to ask, what's in your column this week?
A long time ago, I decided that KGNU needed a food program. This is in the 1980s. And I proposed this show. It was called The Generic Gourmet Show. It was about, you know, using lower cost ingredients to and cooking from scratch to overcome the then recession. One, you know, this was like three recessions ago. In any case, I did that, and eventually it became Radio Nibbles years later. Mm-hmm. But it was named after there was this weird trend of these cheap foods, inexpensive foods in black and white packaging. They'd have whole aisles of this. That's evolved into what are called store brand things. And every supermarket has them now, and they're not segregated someplace. And if you simply switch out brand name for store brand, you will automatically save, I did some research, 15 to 20% on your food bill. Anyway, that's my column this week.
All right. Well, what's the best thing you've eaten lately?
I'm gonna give this one to Mackenzie.
I've eaten the best things ever lately, but my favorite is the savory melon that I picked up from Rough and Ready Farms yesterday night at the at a market near me. And I would say it is almost like a creme brulee caramelized start with a cantaloupe finish. They're super in season right now, and they're perfect size for one person to eat a whole one.
So it's savory is the name of it.
Mm-hmm. Savory melon.
Thanks so much for being here. I'm very glad I got to meet you and introduce you to KGNU.
Thank you so much, John. It was a pleasure.
That's all the time we have for today's Morning Magazine. I've been your host, Shannon Young. Special thanks to Luis Licon, Claire Purnell, Alexis Kenyon, Rosanna Longo-Better, Maeve Conran, and John Lindorf for their contributions to today's program. Stay tuned for a public affair with Tish Buford, and then after that, the Radio Book Club with Maeve Conran. That's coming up just after the news headlines from the BBC.